Welcome to the show. I'm David Goldstein. Blogging is Goldie at horsesass.org and occasionally at Huffington Post. And filling in tonight for Frank Shires all the way until 1 a.m. Talking politics from an unabashedly liberal perspective, which for those who listen to Frank on a regular basis is a little bit different from what you're used to. Frank, I like to call Frank my mentor, but we disagree on just about everything. Frank is he calls himself a small L libertarian who leans Republican, and I'm a liberal, I'm a progressive, I'm a Democrat, and so I do what the other guys do at, like KBI, the folks over at KBI. Do you know that they're actually sponsoring Carl Rove's fundraiser for the King County Republicans? There, John Carlson, he's a journalist. He's a journalist, an objective journalist, no doubt about it. Anyway, that's what I do, except on the liberal Democratic side of the equation. So, if you're like me, you lean a little bit to the left, then you'll be very happy with tonight's show. And if you're like Frank and you lean a bit to the right, well, then I encourage you to listen anyway. Call in at 1-877-710-CHIRO. That's 1-877-710-5476. Or go on over to 710CHIRO.com and send me an instant message and give me a piece of your mind. Because I like to argue. That's kind of what I do. It's what it's all about. It's all about arguing. Coming up in the next hour, speaking of which, now that I've set up the fact that I'm a liberal Democrat, it's going to be just for Frank's audience, I'm bringing in a Republican in the 10 o'clock hour. Actually, a Republican who's running for Seattle City Council. Can a Republican get elected to the Seattle City Council? Well, of course the answer is no, but Jim Nobles is going to be in here anyway, and he's going to try, and we're going to talk to him about what the diversity that he wants to bring to the Seattle City Council. He's actually a great guy. He's a regular at drinking liberally, believe it or not. So we're going to talk for the hour about that. But in this hour, we're getting back to a subject which I talked about for a couple hours over the weekend, and that is the growing scandal over the pet food recall. And it's actually a lot more than just a pet food recall. I did a post yesterday on Horse's Ass, which I also posted to Huffington Post, which, if I post to Huffington Post, I think it's important because I don't do it all that often. Provocatively titled, "Does FDA Spell FEMA?" I think that there's been I think the FDA has fallen down on the job. I'm not going to blame the individuals because God knows how much that agency has been cut back, but there are things that have happened during this recall. When you go and you look at the timeline, they're just inexcusable when we are talking about the safety of the food supply, both for our pets and for us. Anyway, so rather than just ramble on, what I thought I'd do is I have a couple experts, so to speak. This is one of those cases where, once again, you are not getting the information you needed out of the federal government, and our legacy journalists were not asking the right questions. And, in fact, I think that some of the best reporting has been done on the blogs, and that's really been pushing this story the furthest. So I'm very happy to have joining me in the studio right now, Ben Ha. He is a local blogger. He's got a local blog, itchmo.com, which was, I suppose, intended to be a local blog on pets, but now it's a national blog, isn't it, Ben?
Absolutely. It's definitely gone national.
And you started blogging when?
Middle of February.
Middle of February, and now you want to share your site. What are you doing right now a day in terms of, let's put all the other bloggers to shame?
About 12,000 sessions, 25,000 page views a day. So, I mean,
I know people have been blogging for years that never get that far. So you get in on a hot story, and that's what happens. And also now joining me by phone is Christy Keith. She is, I guess more than just a blogger over at PetConnection.com, which has been really, the go-to place for this story. Welcome, Christy.
Hi, thank you.
And explain a little bit your background and what Pet Connection is.
Pet Connection is actually a syndicated national feature. We're in about 75 newspapers with Universal Press Syndicate. And we also maintain a blog at PetConnection.com/blog. We are a multitude of people involved with this. Pet Connection was started by Gina Spadafori, who's a journalist with about 30 years of experience, writing about all kinds of things, and most recently in all the recent years about pets. Dr. Marty Becker from Good Morning America, myself, I've been writing about animals since 1991 for a variety of places. I've been a contributing editor at Bark Magazine, America Online's Pet Care Forum, the Veterinary Information Network, PetHobbyist.com, and now I'm a contributing editor for Pet Connection.
Okay, so finally now I've got people who know what they're talking about instead of me just, you know, pulling stuff out of thin air, which is what people accuse me of all the time. Starting with you, Christy, could you lay out where we are today, what we know, what the latest developments are?
Well, actually,
or would you rather Ben do it?
You know, actually, I think that Ben has going to catch this ball from me.
Okay.
The latest developments, because I think most of them came from ITCHMO. Ben, what did you report today?
You're way too modest. So, basically, what we have today is uncertainty, and that's exactly what we had when this news broke. In fact, I don't think we're all that much better off today than we were 3 weeks ago when many foods decided that they wanted to actually announce this news. The FDA is not 100% certain that they found what's causing all these deaths. The companies have been named. None of them seem to know where the food ended up exactly. Everybody's still scrambling to find out. And, in fact, that's causing more panic today, I think, than ever before. In fact, if you look at Google's numbers and in terms of people looking for information about the recall, and I know this because we're spending our money trying to get people information on this, it's only gone up. And this is news that broke 3 weeks ago.
Right.
And people are still asking, where are the pet recall food lists? Where is this information that I can find to help my family?
And, you know, and a sign of that, I came to this story late, and I've done two posts on Huffington over the last 4 days, and both of them ended up being the top posts in terms of readership on Huffington.
I wrote an article for sfgate.com that not only was it the number one article and the number one most emailed article, it's still today, on the second day, is the number one most emailed article, and that's the website of the San Francisco Chronicle. The interest in this story is, it's increasing. I just saw a report on CNN which said, you know, that I think the ASPCA is reporting, you know, a drop in calls. I haven't seen it. We haven't seen it at Pet Connection. We haven't seen our traffic drop. I'm not getting any fewer emails. I think that people, if anything, are getting angrier and more involved rather than less. The amount of mail I'm getting from people asking, you know, what should I feed my pets? Should I get their, you know, blood and urine checked? Should I call my... announcing that they, you know, they were assuring reporters that they would tell us, you know, as soon as possible. It was their exact words, as soon as possible, as soon as we have information, we'll give it to you. And the reporters are going, yeah, but you're telling us that you're at a facility now telling them that their dry food has possibly been made with this contaminated ingredient. You obviously know what food that is because you're there, and you're not telling us.
Right.
And they also weren't telling us the name of the company in China who sold the suspected contaminated wheat gluten, which they knew because one of our blog readers dug up an import alert on the FDA website.
Right.
They knew during that press conference and didn't say. So if, and even with reporters standing there asking them that very question, well, what's the company? You obviously know. Tell us.
Well, they knew. They knew, and that's the thing we want to talk about, is that clearly when you look at the timeline, they knew in early March that it was, they were suspecting the wheat gluten, and we'll have Ben go through the timeline, but Menu Foods actually switched suppliers on March 6th of the gluten, and they had the bags of gluten there, which surely, if you've ever seen the way things are shipped, had the name of the Chinese distributor or manufacturer, whatever, on the bag. And of course Menu Foods knew which importer they bought it from, and on March 8th they went to that importer and they said, there's a problem with your gluten. And it wasn't until March 30th that they finally announced that it breaks with the name of the Chinese that they go after, FDA says, oh, it's a Chinese manufacturer. And that's when Purina and Hill's Nutrition and Del Monte go, uh-oh, we have that stuff. And if they had released this 3 months before, or 3 weeks before, you would have had food taken off the shelf that shouldn't have been on the shelf.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. And this is a consistent pattern of failure to notify the public of foods that are dangerous to pets as well as humans. You can't just assume that this stuff goes in pet food alone, right? This is actually pet ingredients that are marked for human consumption. The big news is that all the pet food companies want to tell you that they're using human-grade food. So what they're doing is they're buying the cheapest human-grade possible in some cases, and I think this is, you know, we don't know what the price is at this point, but this may be that case where they bought the cheapest possible human food substance and it ended up in pet food.
And of course, if it is human-grade, then it means it could be in the human food supply as well. We are talking with Ben Ha of the blog Itchmo.com and Christy Keith of PetConnection.com. We're talking about the pet food recall. If you have questions, if this is even bothering you, if you want to figure out what's safe, what's not safe, how many pets have died, where we stand in terms of the information on this, or you have your own stories to tell if your own pets were sickened by contaminated pet food, give us a call at 1-877-710-CHIRO. That's 1-877-710-5476. I'm David Goldstein, sitting in for Frank Shires, and you are listening to News Radio 710 Cairo.
It's the Frank Shire Show on News Radio 710 Cairo.
Let the dogs out!
Hold it! Hold it! Hold it! Hold it!
Thank you, Gary, for the appropriate music, bump music there. I'm David Goldstein, filling in for Frank Shires. The number is 1-877-710-CHIRO. That's 1-877-710-5476. Or you can mosey on over to 710CHIRO.com and send me an instant message. Coming up in the next hour, Jim Nobles. He's a Republican. He's running for Seattle City Council. That doesn't fit there. That's in the next hour right here on 710 Cairo. But in this hour, we're talking about the pet food recall. We have a couple of the bloggers who have been out in front on this issue, way out in front of where the media has been. Joining me in the studio is Ben Ha from Itchmo.com. Welcome back. I guess I should turn on your phone.
Thank you.
Your line there. That's the right way to do it. Turn on your mic. Okay. And joining me by phone, I have Christy Keith from PetConnection.com. Welcome back, Christy.
Thanks.
See, I got you right. There we go. I did at least one of those. And we'll try not to hang up on you when I go to the phones tonight. I think that's what we'll do first and take some questions because we have a lot of callers right now. Let's go to Lynn in SeaTac. Lynn, welcome to 710 Cairo.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, Lynn.
Hey, I just wanted to take a minute and just commend both Ben and Christy for taking and stepping up to the plate and being a voice for those bloggers and cats out there that can't speak for themselves. And I'm a regular reader of Christy's blog and also a member of her Yahoo group, Beyond Vaccines. Hi, Christy.
Hi.
Hey, you know, I just wanted to say this dog food and pet food issue is not just happening now. It happened back in 1999 when the San Francisco Chronicle broke the story of Do You Know What's in Your Pet's Food? And that story is still carried on Animal Protection Institute, API. You can do a Google search, Do You Know What's in Your Dog's or Your Pet's Food? That's what actually started me on the road to really investigating what I'm feeding my animals. And the bottom line is, I think it's ultimately up to the pet owner. It doesn't matter. I've shown dogs and bred dogs for 30-plus years. It doesn't matter if you have show dogs or they're just your pets. It's up to the owner to take the responsibility to investigate what they're feeding their animals. Veterinarians today have maybe had 40 hours training in nutrition of pets. That's it. Unless you're going to a nutritional specialist, it's ultimately up to the owner to find out what you're feeding them.
Lynn, of course I always think everybody has to take individual responsibility and investigate and make their own decisions, and that's a very core belief I have. But I also believe that companies, manufacturers, regulating agencies need to not lie to us. They need to give us the actual information we need to make informed decisions. We need to have labeling that is comprehensible and consistent and meaningful and honest. We need to have corporations that are held accountable, government agencies that are held accountable. We need to have some sort of system that we can have a reasonable amount of faith in, because otherwise all the individual responsibility in the world is pointless. Because our, without the facts, what can we do? And I think to me that that is, I don't agree exactly that it's up to the individual pet owners. I think that this is a much bigger issue, an individual pet owner issue.
I think it's different, Lynn, for a breeder like you than it is for just the average consumer. Who, I mean, we expect, we buy food for ourselves at the supermarket, and we expect it to be safe. We expect the same for our pets, I assume. It's kind of shocking to me. I never thought to read the ingredients on my pet food before.
Absolutely. Wow. And I do agree with both what you're saying, Christy, but you have to start as an individual to be able to get those companies to become responsible to do that, and I guess that's what we're doing now with, with all of this.
Well, it's been an amazing process seeing the passion and drive, and, you know, Ben, I'm sure you've seen this too, of pet owners on this issue, that a lot of people have said that, you know, oh, you know, bloggers have driven this or whatever. That's not right. It is pet owners.
Well, I would say the blogs as opposed to the bloggers.
Yes, exactly. It's the people in our comments section, the people who are emailing us, and we are all pet lovers too, pet owners also. It isn't that this hasn't touched us. It has. I'll be honest. All of us at Pet Connection, reading our comments and our email and the people who have submitted their stories to our database, I mean, I've cried many times. Gina's cried. Marty. Okay, Marty will kill me for telling this on the radio, but he's cried. This has been heartbreaking.
Yeah. Well, isn't it true that there's only about 6 or 7 major food, pet food companies and about 7 major rendering plants that the proteins are purchased from to make pet foods today?
Do either of you know that, Christy or Ben?
I definitely don't know the numbers.
I think that's something we need to look into. I can tell you, Lynn, that when it came to wheat gluten, there were only 3 major manufacturers in the U.S., and that's only 30% of the market. There's 70% being imported mostly from Asia. So it's hard to track this down. I want to thank you for calling, Lynn.
Thanks.
We're talking with Christy Keith from PetConnection.com, and in the studio with me is Ben Ha from the blog Itchmo.com. We're talking about the pet food recall, and you know, the question is, are besides the point whether you've had a problem, whether your dogs have gotten sick, do you still have faith in the pet food that you're buying in the stores? Are you going to be able to go back and actually feed your pets commercial pet food and believe that it's safe and wholesome? The number is 1-877-710-CHIRO. That's 1-877-710-5476. I'm David Goldstein, and you're listening to News Radio 710 CHIRO.
CHIRO. 710 CHIRO. Number one for news, talk, and traffic. News Radio 710 CHIRO. Pick up the phone and call 877-710-CHIRO to join in.
Welcome back to the show. I'm David Goldstein. Blogging is Goldie at horsesass.org and filling in for Frank Shires. Don't worry, all you Frank fans. He'll be back next week right here on 710 CHIRO. In this hour, we are talking about the pet food recall, the latest information, what we know, and a lot of what we don't know, which is the very frustrating part of all this. Joining me in the studio is Ben Ha. He blogs at itchmo.com. Welcome back, Ben.
Thank you.
And joining us by phone, we have Christy Keith from PetConnection.com. Welcome back, Christy.
Hi.
And over at Pet Connection, you've actually been keeping track. I guess you could say that you have users entering into a database of pets who are sick and have died.
On March 19th, 3 days after the recall, we started. We created a database and started accepting entries into it. These are self-reported cases, which, you know, they're not confirmed. There's no stretch of the imagination that we can consider these official numbers. But at the time, there was really, you know, no place for people to report this. The FDA, of course, needs to get these reports, but there was no easy way to do that on their website, and their phone was always busy. People were unable to report their pet sickness or death anywhere, and we created this database actually so that we could have an idea of the scope of the problem, because it seemed apparent that the numbers being reported at that time, 10 to 15 confirmed deaths, reflected the animals in the menu feeding trial and not any of the dozens, hundreds, thousands, whatever the number was.
So that's all they've reported is from the feeding trial.
Correct. And they acknowledged that at their press conference last Friday, that they have not moved to confirm any additional cases, that they have not even established a definition of a confirmed case. They pointed out that if this were a human illness, a human outbreak, that it would be not the FDA but the CDC who would be doing that work, and there is no Centers for Disease Control for Animals. So there's also no system of notification, tracking, and reporting
right.
animal illness.
As we've heard, there's no pet pathologist or
coroner.
There's no pet coroner to report
right.
it.
Coroner, exactly.
Right.
And so we, for our own investigative purposes, wanted to get a feeling for what was going on. And, you know, we started the database on March 19th. And as of this morning at 5:46 Pacific time, we had we had 9,203 total reports, of whom 3,168 were reported as being deceased. Now, these numbers are high, and as I will just repeat, unconfirmed cases. They're not official. They're self-reported. However, the FDA stated that they have over 10,000 reports that they have not investigated yet. The Oregon State Public Health Veterinarian reported that they had 38 confirmed deaths, and Oregon has 1.2% of the United States population, so if you extrapolate that out, that's roughly in line with what we have. And the Michigan State Veterinary Association also reported 46 deaths and 144 dogs and cats with kidney disease, so although those were informal numbers also. You know, I think that what we're looking at, our numbers are, you know, falling in line with numbers that will probably turn out to be official later on. I really think that everyone in the media who continues to say 10, 12, 15...
Right. They're doing a disservice, and they're just taking the FDA number without asking.
Absolutely. And the problem that I have with the FDA's numbers is that they originally came out and said, hey, we'll give you the official death toll. And then they started backing away when they realized that this was out of their control. They realized that they didn't have the authority to actually make death toll numbers, but yet they gave the media a small number, which is what everybody was repeating for weeks on end, and now people think this isn't as big as it actually is. We'll never know the real numbers. In fact, people are recalling deaths. They're thinking, my God, I fed my pet this food. It died. It was cremated. I have no evidence of anything, but the doctor told me that it was strange that they had kidney failure. We'll never know.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Spocko in San Francisco. Spocko, a former guest
yes.
of my show. Welcome back, Spocko.
Well, David, once again, you're on top of the story before pretty much anybody else, so I wanted to commend you on that. And I have a question for Ben and Christy. First of all, you've done a great job, but I'm curious, one of the reasons that is interesting is, why didn't the vets in all these various different cities figure this out sooner? What was the process behind that, you think, is going on in terms of reporting? And Christy might have some idea about that.
Yeah, actually, I will tell you right now, it was the vets who got me and Gina on it. I think that the vets were, in fact, on it almost immediately.
Did you see this before the recall?
No.
Okay.
No, and it would be very difficult to have seen it before the recall because, of course, dogs and cats get kidney diseases all the time. And because the cases are spread out over a large pool of veterinarians, you know, at what point does an individual practice realize that they've gone above their background rate of kidney disease? And when you're not looking for these specific crystals that they're seeing, why would you look for them? We're not in the habit of looking for, you know, melamine in the kidney tissues of our cats. I think that the veterinarians were actually amazingly responsive on this. There's one national chain of veterinary hospitals, Banfield,
mm-hmm.
which does, because they have over 600 hospitals and they run a pretty comprehensive...
My dog goes to one.
Okay, well, they run a pretty comprehensive database program. And they did early on confirm, I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, I think it was something along the lines of a couple hundred per week cases above their background. This is on our blog with the exact numbers and a citation. But see,
I should have read your blog more thoroughly, and I could have had somebody from Banfield on.
So the question is then, at that point, then what role should the FDA and or whatever this organization supposedly that's supposed to check the food and the pets is, what role should they have played in terms of notifying them to start looking for this much sooner?
This is the thing that one of the things that I find most frustrating is that veterinarians, many, many vets that I've spoken to, heard about this either through their own private professional organizations, such as the Veterinary Information Network, or from their own clients Monday morning mm-hmm. on the news.
Yeah, we've actually had
no notification.
We've actually had vets who actually emailed us and said, thank you, because we're not getting this from anybody.
There is no CDC for vets.
No.
And this is one of the things which got me into this story initially, and I used the term in the first piece I did on Huffington. I asked whether our cats were the canary in the coal mine. In fact, if it wasn't for this pet food, this gluten, the 792 metric tons that were imported likely would have gotten into the human food supply. I want to thank you for calling, Spocko. We're going to have you on another time.
All right. Thanks.
Keep blogging.
Okay,
we're talking about the pet food recall with Ben Huff from itchmo.com and Christy Keith from Pet Connection. The number is 1-877-710-CHIRO. That's 1-877-710-5476. But it is 9:46, so let's go to the 710 Cairo 24-hour news center with Jeannie Lockhart. Hi, Jeannie. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
Well,
welcome back to the show. I'm David Goldstein, filling in for Frank Shires. Joining me talking about the pet food recall is Ben Huff from itchmo.com and Christy Keith from petconnection.com. Welcome back. We've got a lot of callers, so let's try to get through some of these. Let's go to Sharon in Seattle. Sharon, welcome to 710 Cairo.
Thank you. I just had a quick question.
Okay.
You know, when they had those feeding trials and the pets got sick, was that a routine feeding trial, or was that done because they changed suppliers for this?
Actually, yeah, that was a routine feeding trial. They had scheduled it in advance. In fact, that's something that they do on a quarterly basis, that they feed food, and it's an outsourced agency that actually does it for them. And had that happened at a different time period, they may have sat on this recall news for even longer. And in fact, the CEO of Menu Foods admitted in a press conference that they gave out wrong information to the first, you know, half dozen or dozen callers that said, hey, there's something wrong with your food. Basically, they brushed it off until they realized that their pets that they were feeding in these little cages were dropping like flies. In fact, something like 17% of these pets died.
Mm.
And in fact, the first pet died within the first 3 days.
Their own test subjects were dying.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, at least they responded to that.
Yeah.
Now, they didn't actually do it right away. They waited for more than a week before they did it. And in fact, when they announced the recall, which was on a Friday afternoon, the lowest news time of the day, of the week, they didn't have their website ready. They didn't have a list of recall brands or UPC codes or anything like that. In fact, if you went to their website, it was down until the next morning.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for calling, Sharon.
Thank you.
Let's go to Kathleen in Chicago. Kathleen, welcome to 710 Cairo.
Hello. Hi, I'm Kathleen. Thank you, David. And I'm so glad that Christy and Ben, that you have these websites. A friend of mine, I got involved in this because she lost her white hair fox terrier that very same weekend.
Right.
That following week, the 20th, I had gone to a job fair. And as I was leaving, coincidental, I was near where there was the American Veterinary Medical Association. And I was like, oh, isn't this a coincidence? I stopped in there, of course, and I have their pen right in front of me. But the funny part and why I'm calling and bringing this up to let other people know about it is that they were not even aware of the fact that it's in dry food. And this is this American Veterinary Medical Association that governs all the vets. I would think that they would have known about dry food since Dr. Becker, he's aware of this. And I would also think that, you know, I'm from Chicago, Illinois. I'm going to go to this thing that our Senator Durbin is going to be having tomorrow. I have a Siberian Husky who last year was operated and had 10 bladder stones removed. And the vet was like saying to me, well, we think it's something in his diet. Well, I'm starting to figure out what was in his diet and that this is part of why my guy has been sick. And I've been smart enough to know to change certain things. But at the same time, I recently just brought him to Banfield, and they put him on UD Science Diet. When he had the surgery, they didn't even do this for us. I wanted to bring to light that there's something that Pedigree makes that's called whole meals.
Mm-hmm.
And this, a lot of people would not even think about because it looks like a bone bone, and it looks like it's a nutritious thing that you can give to your dog. I have given it to both of my Huskies, and I can tell you that they had had side effects. It has wheat gluten in there, and I said, this is another thing that the American Veterinary Medical Association in our area in Schaumburg did not know about.
It's very frustrating, Kathleen, how little information is getting out there.
Yeah, and in fact, we've actually had lots of people write to us saying, look, this certain brand of food has killed my dog, this certain brand of food has killed my cat, and it's difficult for us as little bloggers in this great big world to correlate any of that result, but the fact is, no one trusts any manufacturer of food, period, because of this.
All right. Thanks for calling, Kathleen. I want to get one more call in. Did you have something to say, Christy?
I do, just really quickly echo what Ben said, that I think that one of the greatest tragedies of this is the destruction of people's ability to trust, because, you know, with all due sympathy to Kathleen, we're not seeing stones in these animals, and I don't think that this particular toxin is related to what happened to her dog. But on the other hand, people have become really fearful and mistrustful, and it's causing a breakdown in, you know, even their dialogue with their veterinarian.
Right.
And I think that's really sad.
I want to thank you both. We've run out of time. Ben Huff from itchmo.com and Christy Keith from petconnection.com. I apologize to the people on hold. We didn't get to you. Coming up next, more of my show on News Radio 710 Cairo.